Ben has asked me to read this morning from the fifth chapter of the book of Romans, verses 6 through 8. Romans 5, 6 through 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
If I were to ask each of us in this auditorium this morning to make a list of the five most important words in the English language, I would guess that without exception, the word love would be in that list. And I would even guess that in about 99% of the cases, the word love would be number one. And if perchance it's number two, it probably would be preceded by the word grace or something like that that would be related to the love, especially when we think about the love of God. I don't know that there is a word in the English language that's more important than the word love. I want us to think about that word this morning in light of what David has just read. You know, there are different types of love. We might look at it in another way, that there are different levels of love. We do not necessarily love all people in the same way or at the same level. In fact, we are commanded to especially love the brethren and especially love our families. And so there are different types of love. I would suggest to you that in the passage just read, there is an indication of three types. Someone has said there is a because love, an if love, and an anyway love. And these are suggested to some extent in that passage. The last of the three, the anyway love, is certainly mentioned in the fact that God loved us while we were yet sinners. And then it is indicated before that, that perhaps for a righteous man we would be willing to die, or at least to sacrifice in some way, and maybe for a good man. A righteous man is one who does righteous deeds. And so it might very well be that this would represent the because love in that if someone has done righteous deeds for us, it would necessarily follow that we would probably love him. And we might let the good man here and a sacrifice in his direction suggest the idea of if love, because if we do something for someone who is a good person, usually we will receive back in some way, either in kind or in some other way that is a response to the love we would show in that direction. Therefore, it seems to me that this text fits the idea of three kinds of love. Let's just reason for a few minutes about those three kinds of love. Each one of them is good, but one of them is better than the others. Think with me first about what someone has described as a because kind of love. I love you because. Let's think about it in a practical sense and then put it in light of God's word. Someone might say, well, now I love you because you gave me a nice Christmas present or a nice birthday present. One in the family might say, I love my mother or I love my wife because she is always preparing good meals for us. Therefore, because of what she is doing, then I love her for that. You might on a job have a type of love or at least a great deal more respect for someone who has given you a promotion. Or maybe someone on the job who has given you a raise because you got that promotion or because you got that raise, your feelings are magnified toward the person who was involved in giving that to you. In the political realm and to some extent even in school, as there are elections of different types, there may be a tendency for us to love or at least to like a person better if he votes for us or he supports us or he works for us in some cause that is being done. I might even say, I love you, or I will love you, because you make me feel good. You make me happy. You make me laugh. You do all these things for me, therefore I will love you, or I will love you more. That's not bad. In fact, there are some good things associated with that kind of love. But you know, this is the easy kind of love. It's not hard to love somebody that loves you. I think one of the easiest kinds of love that we see is the love that we have for the little babies. And even though there may be a special love that we have for our own, there's just a kind of love that we have for all those little babies, because most of them will smile at you. They will snuggle up to you. Even before they really understand very much about life, it just seems that there is a kind of love that just comes from them. And because of what we see and what they are, we love them. That's an easy kind of love. It's easy to love those that love you. And yet even the scripture points out that that is a kind of love that we have. We're told to love one another because Christ has loved us. John 13, verse 34. In fact, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, that the love of Christ constraineth us. One of the very reasons is indicated in this passage that we become Christians in the first place and live for God is because of the love of Christ. The love of Christ constraineth us. That is a cause. Because he loved us, we are more likely to love him and to love one another. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. And probably a better translation of that would be, we love because he first loved. Because, you see, there is the because kind of love. And even in our relationship with one another, we are told that we are to love and esteem those who are the elders for their work's sake. We love them for what they do. We love them because of who they are and what they accomplish, especially as they watch for our souls. So there's nothing wrong with a because love if it is kept in proper focus and if we do not stop there. We love each other more, and we'll learn to love each other more because of things that happen. And that's good in its proper way. But there is another kind of love. This love is a conditional type of love, where we basically say, though we do not necessarily put it into words, I will love you if. If you do what pleases me, if you do what I like, if you do those things that I want, then I will love you, and I will love you more if. That's a conditional kind of love. Some of you young people might say, I'll love you more if you let me borrow my car or borrow your car. I'm not for sure that that necessarily is going to help love in the long run. I'll love you if you pick me to be on your team when you choose up for a game. If you show something in my direction, I'll love you more. I'll love you if you will help me with my homework. And sometimes even goes as far as to say, if you'll do it for me. I will love you if you will do my chores, or if you will do the things that I ought to be doing, you do it for me, or you help me to do it. I'll love you more. Or I'll love you if you give me the things that I want, or if you do for me the things that I would like to have done, then I will love you more. Sometimes we plug the subject of forgiveness into this network. And we sort of say, I will love you if you love me. I will forgive you if you're willing to forgive. Or I will forgive you if you do such and such. And that's not all bad, because God looks at things somewhat that way also. You see, God says, I will forgive you if you'll repent. I will add you to the church if you will obey. I will bless you according to the way you live. There are some concepts of if love in our relationship to God. For example, in John 14:23, he says, if a man will do my will, then I will, summarizing the rest of the verse, love him and be concerned about him. You take the plan of salvation and you look at faith, repentance, confession, baptism for the remission of sins, and every one of them is in this area of if. God says, if you believe, if you repent, if you confess, if you're born again, baptized for the remission of sins. Then he says, I will forgive. I will add you to the church. You'll be a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. There is a part of if love even on the part of God. And in James 1 in verse 12, he says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life, notice, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now that's an if love if I ever saw it. The crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. God has a conditional love, and his promises are conditional. Some of them are, at least. His promise of eternal salvation, inheriting heaven, is a conditional promise, but his promise of the opportunity of salvation is unconditional. And that introduces the third kind of love that we're talking about. Yes, there is a conditional type of love, even from God himself. And there may be times in our relationships with one another that we will place conditions. But there is a higher level of love that is described here in Romans 5, verse 8, that is what we call an anyway love. An anyway, no matter what, in spite of, love. Did you notice that passage says God loved us in that while we were yet sinners? And he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. He did not send that son because of anything that we had done. That is not a because love. Anything that we had done for him in his direction. He did not send that son and say to us, I will send my son to the earth if mankind will do such and such. That's not an if love. He sent that son in spite of the fact that mankind was guilty of sin. In spite of the fact that mankind had walked off from God. And he said in sending that son who died on the cross once for all, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you are, and it doesn't matter what you do with the son that I sent. I'm still going to send him. I am still going to love everybody. That was the attitude that God had, I think, when he sent his son. And he said, no matter what, my love is going to be shown in that direction. In the last two verses of the 8th chapter of Romans, a list is given, including even life and death, and it is said that none of these things can separate us from the love of God. Now, that passage didn't say we can't be separated from God, because the time will come when he will say, depart from me. But it does say that we cannot be separated from the love of God. It does not say that we cannot get ourselves into a condition of which God would disapprove. And it does not say that we can't turn our backs on him and go completely away from him, even to a reprobate mind of Romans 1. But it does say that no matter what we do, where we go, and who we are, or whom we become, that God is still going to love us and want the best for us. And I believe the Bible even teaches that if we come to that point of a reprobate mind where God gives us over and he knows that we've gone so far and so hardened that we can never repent, that even then God does not wish that to be the case, but only recognizes it as a reality. God's love for us is an anyway love, no matter what, in spite of everything that we do. And folks, that's the kind of love that we need today. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, if what we've been discussing about Christ dying and God sending that Son is the anyway love, and here he says, husbands, love your wives in this same sense, doesn't that indicate to us that that's the kind of love we need in our families? And let me tell you something. That kind of love will erase divorce. There won't be any more. Because you see, when a husband makes his promise to his spouse, I'll love you as long as we live, and if she makes that promise to him and they carry that out, that takes care of any other possibility or changing of that relationship. Well, it doesn't mean they'll like everything that each one does. Doesn't mean that they'll approve of everything. In fact, there may be even times when they'll get upset at each other. And there may be even times when they'll tell each other the things that they don't like, but there'll never be a time that they cease to love if they understand what this passage says. It says, I will love you no matter what you do. That's the kind of love we need as parents. A few years ago, I read about a young man that was being put to death in an electric chair because of a crime that he'd committed. And they interviewed his mother, who came as close to where he was as she could come. And this was the summation of her words. I don't approve of what he's done. I know he's done wrong, but I still love him. He's my son, and I still love him. That's the kind of anyway, no matter what, in spite of love that we need in our families. That's the kind of love that we need even for our friends and in our association in the church. You know, there'll be times that we may not like what somebody else does. We may not even approve of every action. There may be even those things in the lives of other people and among their actions that we literally hate and abhor. And the Bible says, hate that which is evil. But it means this, that if you are my brother and sister in Christ, you can't make me quit loving you. You can't do anything that will keep me from loving you and wanting what is best for you and preferring your best interest and being interested in coming to you even if you do something of which I disapprove. It means you just can't keep me from loving you if I have that kind of love. And I believe that's the kind of love that is presented in the Word of God. You see, we're even told to love our enemies. Now, that's in any way, no matter what kind of love. That's not a because or an if. We don't love our enemies because they've done some good things for us, or we don't even necessarily approach it from the standpoint that we'll love them if they'll change. We're to love them. That's not the same kind of love we have for our families. I recognize that. It's not the same kind of love we have for brethren in Christ. But it's a love that wants the best for that person, even though he's my enemy, and wants him to change if at all possible, and is willing to do anything to help him, even to love mine enemies. There is a sense in which mankind was the enemy of God when God sent his Son to die on the cross, because mankind had gone over into the enemy's camp and was following the devil. But God said, I'll send my Son to die on the cross, and I'll love man, and I'll give him an opportunity of salvation no matter what he's done and no matter what he does do. And in spite of all of this, that's an anyway kind of love. Yes, there will be times that we'll love each other because of things that are done, and all the good that you do in my direction causes me to love you more. There'll be times that we'll love if we may even say, I'll love you more. Oh, I would love you if you would do this for me. But folks, it's when we come to understand as much as is possible for us to in our minds this anyway love that we'll really know what love means. Somehow or other, I think this must have been the kind of love that Paul had in mind when he said in that beloved chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, love suffereth long and is kind, envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. And that's the only kind of love that I know of that'll never fail. We love sometimes because of. We love sometimes if. But folks, we've got to learn to love no matter what. That anyway kind of love. It's that kind of love that brought the opportunity of salvation to where I can say to you this morning, God wants you to be in His Son's body. He wants you to have salvation. And it's because of that that we're able to say to you, if you'll just obey God, God will take care of the rest of it. He wants you. He loves you. He sent His Son for you. And I really believe if you have that any kind of love, any way love, and you're not a Christian, you'll want to come as together we stand and sing.
Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, come, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites.